Lund, Mr. Walls and Mr. Godfrey, I thought I saw.
This is worse than our budget, and ours is bad.
I see.
That'd be hard. Okay.
So, Representative Hundley and Senator Berglund, how would you like to proceed? Well, what we're doing is we're going through the spreadsheet first, and you can have, if you want to present it, fine. If you want the fiscal analyst to present it, and then we go through the articles and what language we have, particularly that's different from what we've already adopted, the same or similar, and then we'll have motions on adoption of these provisions. So, how would you like to proceed?
Where do I offer my amendments today, Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
Representative Rukavina.
Can I have Senator Berglund offer
an amendment?
Some amendments that I offered yesterday that didn't pass? Because she's good at just getting up there and saying a few words, and you guys just put everything in the bill. So.
Well, we'll be discussing the Health Care Access Fund, Representative Rukavina, which deals with workers. Would that help?
Yes. Thank you for the suggestion.
And I'm sure there's a health aspect to that.
Representative Rukavina, the people who are here this morning, because we didn't have Health and Human Services scheduled last night, so we have a new group of people here, and they don't understand that we can expect about 60 amendments to these sections.
I tried to make it perfectly clear, and
I'm just concerned that.
Well, right. Okay. How would you like to proceed with? First of all, we'd like to have a presentation of the spreadsheet. So, however you'd like to handle that,
the reductions made after
Mr. Godfrey, Mr. Walls are going to alternate, or whatever you'd like to do.
Mr. Chair, members, just to give you an orientation of the spreadsheet, the first page
And Mr. Godfrey, I apologize for interrupting you before, just as you're starting. We've delayed a few minutes because there was the preparation of a new spreadsheet, and I asked Mr. Marks. He said that the changes made are just, they're not substantive in nature from what Representative Carlson and I reviewed yesterday.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. They're just technical changes that were made after we were able to finally meet with the departments and go over some numbers. So there's an item in the Department of Health's area that actually came in with a little bit more savings than we anticipated on the first fiscal note we received.
All right, thanks.
Mr. Chair, members, just to give you a quick orientation of the spreadsheet, we have the first page, which is a summary page. You'll see the columns. The first column is basically the agencies and the change items. Second column is the governor's budget. Third column is the House's original position. Fourth is the Senate's original position. And then the conference committee agreement is in the last column. Just to direct your attention to line number three, that's the general fund. You'll see in fiscal year 08-09, the savings in the bill is $146,835,000 in the first biennium. Second biennium, it's at $170.4 million. Then you'll also see a summary of the two main other funds in this budget area, the Health Care Access Fund balance and the federal TANF balance. Then there's a summary by departments that are in this bill, and then we can begin going through the change items on page two. Beginning on line 80 are a number of federal compliance items recommended by the governor. The first is federal compliance, child support arrears and distributions. That was agreed to by the conference committee, and it has no costs in 08-09. The next one on line 90 is federal compliance medical assistance cost-sharing limits. That has a small cost of $18,000 in the first biennium. Next on line 103 is the federal compliance Medicaid payments to public providers. The conference committee adopted the Senate position, which is to include some policy regarding this particular item, but did not include the costs. Next on line 114 is the federal compliance Medicaid targeted case management item, savings of $18,000. That's in the bill. On line 121 is the federal compliance county IGT nursing home rate add-on change, and that was adopted by the conference committee recommendations. On line 127 is a House position that was accepted for one-time funding of $619,000 for long-term homelessness. Part of this appropriation is made from the TANF fund, and the other half is made from the general fund. Next on line 134 is another House position that was accepted, $619,000 of spending one time in fiscal year 09 for food shelf programs. Next on line 141 is the MFIB work participation and food stamp simplification item, which was in the House bill, and this was not adopted. The next item on 149 is Centers of Excellence policy-only language that is included in the bill. Next on 154 is the governor's recommendation for long-term care partnership MA modifications, changes to that program, and a small cost of $4,000. That was adopted by the committee agreement. 159 is House position American Youth Indian Treatment funding for one-time funding for facilities in northern Minnesota. That was not adopted. On 164 is the governor's recommendation for administrative budget reduction to DHS, and that is included in this agreement at $3.5 million of net savings. On line 170 is the governor's recommendation for transfers from two special revenue funds. This was adopted by the working group agreement but was modified somewhat. In fiscal year 09, there is the transfer of $2.1 million from the Chemical Dependency Fund in fiscal year 09. And then in fiscal year 10, there is the transfer of $975,000 from a healthcare outreach fund, and then additional $2.65 million transferred from the Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund. On line 179 is the adoption, included in this spreadsheet is the Senate position on reducing DHS carry forward by $1.1 million in fiscal year 09. Turning to page 4, line 186, it's the governor's recommendation for state operated services past due county receivables, and that was included in the spreadsheet at savings of $2.2 million. On line 191 is governor's recommendation for county waiver overspending. And this was not included in the agreement. On line 196, the adoption relative custody assistance forecast change, that was accepted in savings of $997,000 in 08-09. On line 202 is a Senate position on MFIB work support grants for counties. This was actually changed from the original Senate position, increases those grants somewhat slightly, and this is a TANF fund appropriation in 09 of $6.5 million, and then in the tails it's $13.8 million. On line 210 is the repeal of the MFIB family cap. This was included in both of the original bills and is funded here at $1.3 million in 08-09 from the TANF fund. Next on 219 is Senate position on community action grants, auto repairs and purchases. This was a Senate position and did not make it into the final agreement. On line 225 is TANF refinancing for excess MOE, and that is included at a savings of $2.6 million to the general fund in 08-09. On line 238 is a Senate position on return MFIB cash spending to 2007 levels, and this is savings to the general fund of $42.2 million in 08-09. On line 245 is a Senate position on basic sliding fee, accelerates the use of existing fund dollars. This saves $9.2 million in fiscal year 09. On line 252, page 5, small cut to the pre-K exploratory program. This was originally a Senate position and was accepted in this agreement, savings of $250,000. Then skipping down to line 265 is the governor's recommendation to restructure HIV grant funding. This was accepted in one-time savings of $2.4 million in fiscal year 09. Line 270 is the eliminate Wilmer meth treatment activity. The Senate position was adopted here, meaning that the grants that will go back to the community, to new meth treatment activity will begin in fiscal year 10 instead of fiscal year 09. Saves $525,000 in 08-09. On line 276 is the county grant payment delay. This is the governor's recommendation. It saves $7.7 million in 09. Differs slightly from the original governor's proposal because of another change item in this spreadsheet, which is the cuts to DHS grants, which we'll talk about later. On line 284 is the inpatient hospital payment delay. This is the governor's recommendation. It's one-time savings of $10.1 million in 08-09. On line 292 is the increase of the managed care withhold. The conference committee or working group adopted the Senate position, which saves $13.6 million and increases the withhold from 5% annually to 8%. Next, on line 301 is the limit managed care and average administrative spending to 7%. This was a Senate recommendation, and this was accepted. It saves $2.9 million in 08-09. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. And let me correct that. It's actually a reduction of overall reduction in these contracts of 0.5% from what they currently are spending. 7% was originally the Senate position, but since we changed the language earlier in this committee, it's now actually a smaller decrease than we were originally carrying. On page 6, line 310 is the delay inpatient hospital rebasing. And this was originally governor's recommendation. The working group accepted this recommendation and modified it slightly in the tails. Instead of having a 12-month delay, it's now a 14-month delay, which provides some additional tail savings in fiscal year 10. The savings in 09 is $9.7 million, and the savings now in 10-11 is $37.6 million. On line 320 is a Senate position that was accepted, reduce fee-for-service outpatient hospital rates by 3%. That saves a small $369,000 in 08-09. On line 329 is a reduction to inpatient hospital rates by it's actually more than 3%. I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is, but it's probably around 3.7% in fiscal year 09, saves $8.3 million. The subsequent years are pegged at roughly the same amount of money, but the percent reduction will be lower. And I'm not sure, I haven't actually seen the bill language to know what those percentages are in the tails, but it saves $16.7 million in 10 and 11. The next item is a reduction to fee-for-service medical provider rates by 3%. This was a Senate position that was not adopted by the working group. And 347 is a Senate position on prior authorized certain services and technology. And that was removed from our tracking in the last time we were before this committee. And I believe the intent here is to include the language but not recognize the savings.
Right. Mr. Chairman, the department told us they'd have to seek waivers, and it would take probably a year to get the waivers. And they don't know for sure if they'd get the waivers. But if they did, there could be some savings in the next biennium. I guess I think we need the savings, whether we can book them or not, whenever we can get them. So we thought we should have the language in the bill, even though it doesn't show anything at this time.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chair, members, beginning then again on page 6, line 356, is a Senate item to implement best practices in third-party liability collection. Again, this was an item that we removed from the spreadsheet to reflect the concerns of the department on the fiscal note. However, we are including language in the bill that directs them to undertake these activities, but it's not being tracked in the spreadsheet. Then on page 7, line 365, is the refund of health plan reserves. That's being tracked elsewhere in the global spreadsheet. And then with that, I'll hand it over to Mr. Walls.
Okay, Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, the next three items were House positions that were not did not make it into the final bill. One was a small appropriation for a dental care access study. One was state health care county-based purchasing requirements. These were recommendations from a legislative auditor's report. And another was to refinance critical access dental from the general fund to the health care access fund. You'll see on line 395, the House position, a modified version of the House position was accepted. This includes a 1% COLA for nursing home employees for 2009. This will take place October 1st. In addition to that, there will be in 2009 a 1% bonus that is at one time only and does not carry forward into the tails. On line 400, provision that was excluded was the targeted case management working group. We also did not accept a governor's recommendations to increase nursing facility payment, his COLA provision, but to eliminate rebasing. That was rejected, as well as delaying the long-term care COLAs for other long-term care employees. Mr. Chair, going to page 8, on line 430, the Senate had a different position for delaying long-term care COLAs, and that was not included in the bill as well. On line 448, an inclusion of the Senate position on reducing fee for service pharmacy rates. This cut was about $1.25 million per year, and that is half the level that was recommended by the governor. On line 455 is the inclusion of a governor's proposal to freeze substance abuse treatment rates. On line 461, a provision that was not included was to cut inpatient hospital supplemental rates, or what you all know as DSH payments. On line 468, the governor's position was included in the bill to freeze MINDO waivered services at, I believe, current, there was due to be an increase in those, and I believe this freezes them at current rates. Mr. Chair, on line 474, the governor's recommendation of eliminating transitional medical assistance for children was not included. Neither was on the top of page 9, eliminating funding for the health care outreach incentive program. On line 496, the governor recommended doing away with maintaining to put Minnesota Care adults with children or without children back to 200%. That had been increased in last year's bill, and we are leaving that at current law, and so that will increase to, I believe, 275% of poverty. Mr. Chair, on line 504, there is a reduction. It was a Senate position to reduce all DHS general fund grants by 1.7%. That saves about $2.3 million per year. On line 516, the House governor and Senate proposed managing home and community-based waiver growth. That was included in the bill. It saves $5 million in 09 and about $11.5 and $12 million in 10 and 11. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what the next position is on 526 that has zeros all the way across. I'm not familiar with that position, but it was not included in the bill.
Mr. Chair, that's the and members, that's the Senate position on PCA rate reductions for administrative costs, and we dropped that the last time that we came before you to update our spreadsheet.
Motion control agency or personal care tenants.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 531, reduction in the Minnesota sex offender program. The Senate had suggested reducing this beginning in 09. The conference committee agreement reduces them by $2 million a year starting in fiscal year 2010. On line 537, eliminating community-based demonstration project grants. This was a small demonstration project recommended to be eliminated by the governor, and the bill keeps current law that funding will go forward. Mr. Chair, on line 542, the governor had proposed $250 million healthcare access fund transfer to the general fund. That was also not included in the bill. In the Department of Health, the first three projects or recommendations made by the governor did not make the final conference committee agreement. That was to eliminate an increase to FAS grants, reduce youth tobacco prevention grants, and eliminate an increase for lead abatement. On line 568, there is an elimination of funding for the Menable program that saves $220,000 per year. And on line 573, there was a reduction to supplemental MERC payments, saving $2 million in 2009 and $1 million per year beginning in 2010. Mr. Chair, on line 578 and 585, there were two House provisions to refinance FQHCs and MERC funding from General Fund to Healthcare Access Fund. Those did not make it in the final bill. Turning to page 11, there is funding or a funding reduction. Excuse me, there is a provision for the St. Louis County Inspection Delegation. This raises slightly more SGSR revenue than the provision spends. Mr. Chair, on line 599, swimming pool regulation modifications is moving in a separate bill. We include funding on line 605 for the spoken language healthcare interpreters. And Mr. Chair, on line 611 for birth record access for adopted persons, I believe that is somewhere outside this committee as well. On line 617, there is a reduction of 1.7% to all Department of Health grants. This saves $766,000 per year. And there is also, I believe, the Senate level of a 2% operating budget reduction for the Department of Health. Continuing down to the bottom of the page for the Veterans Home Board, there is a reduction in their repair and betterment appropriation for 2009 only. This recaptures $1.6 million. Mr. Chair, going to the last page, under health-related boards, there is a transfer from their SGSR account of $3.2 million to the general fund. There's a small provision for Marriage and Family Therapy Board rulemaking costs of $14,000, an additional provision for Nursing Home Board funding of Health Board contested cases of $100,000 for 08 and $200,000 a year after that. And the last provision is a transfer from the EMS bonus award account. This recaptures $3.1 million in 10 and 11 from their SGSR and transfers that into the general fund. And Mr. Chair, we'll stand for questions.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to ask a question just on the very last section. Senator Berglund, you and I went back and forth along with Mr. Mossman relative to the surplus in the EMS account, not the ongoing money used for the bonus awards, but the surplus account, which was at something like 15 plus million. Maybe the question is better directed to Representative Huntley. Why was that so difficult a cut to make?
Mr. Chair, that was actually in another committee from mine, so that that was in Representative Clark's committee. But it's in the conference committee report.
See that? I know maybe one of the House members can help me. I know that there's the in the working group recommendations, there's the cut in the tails, but not but there's nothing in the present year.
It's because we needed the tail savings. So it was a one-time cut. We just moved.
Okay. All right. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, can you explain a little more about that St. Louis County inspection?
It's, Mr. Chairman and Representative Murphy, it is my understanding that the county is no longer going to do those inspections. And so it's now up to the state to do those.
And the savings to the state comes from the amount that the county will pay the state? Is that it?
The state won't be paying the county.
Does the savings come?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Murphy, I believe the state will be collecting the fees that are associated with the inspections apparently the state does it a little bit more efficiently.
Mr. Chair, does the places that are being inspected, do they pay the fee?
Yes.
Yes.
Not the county?
Yes.
So they didn't pay it to the county before? Or were they double paying?
No. Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, they paid the fee to the county before because the county was doing the inspections. Now the state will be doing the inspections, so they'll pay the fee to the state.
And is, Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, is there a loss of jobs then to the county? Is the state going to hire the county inspectors?
That I don't, Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, somebody will be doing those inspections in St. Louis County, and I don't know if they're if they will be state employees or what, but the county is voted not to do that anymore.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Covino.
To that point, Representative Huntley, do you know if there is an increase then in fees to the... Typically, the county will do things a little cheaper than the state, so is there an increase to the restaurants? And
Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, the fee is the same that they will pay. Whether they pay it to the county or they pay it to the state, the fee is the same.
Further questions relative to Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, I'll direct this question to Senator Berglund. Last week on the floor, we passed a bill that averaged or made sure that all the nursing homes received some increase. There was a bill that came from the Nursing Home Association, I believe. And I'm curious how that bill will interact with what we have in this bill for the 2% increase.
Chairman and Senator Frederickson, that established a Senate position of not increasing the COLA. I believe under this bill, the rebasing would stay the same in current law, and there would be this COLA instead of rearranging the current money that we have, there would be money on top of the current money that we have.
Chairman, Senator Berglund, so then would all nursing homes be receiving some increase? There were a few that was. Mr. Chairman, one other question. The 2% was termed as 1% COLA and 1% bonus. Is that bonus considered a grant?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Frederickson, it's considered a bonus in that area.
Mr. Chairman, and the reason I'm asking the question because both health and both agencies are receiving a 1.7% reduction in grants. I was curious if that 1% bonus would be subject to that 1.7%. That'd be it.
Those are other grants.
Other grants? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Frederickson, from my perspective, that bonus will create a tremendous amount of pressure on the Senate session.
Representative Covino?
Well, Mr. Chair, and to either Representative Huntley or Senator Berglund, you know, you two had a terrible job to do, and I realize that. But we've been getting all kinds of emails from families and those concerned with a lot of vulnerable communities in the state, and I'm just wondering how they fared under the conference committee report. There are a number of acronyms. I don't even know what they stand for, but they had to do with, you know, I think families that get some reimbursements from state dollars for keeping their children at home or for vulnerable adults and that. So how did all of that shake out in here as far as what kind of cuts are going to happen to those communities.
Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, it's my understanding that we did not cut those types of programs you're specifically talking about. Unless they were a grant, then they might have lost 1.7%.
Okay, and then finally, there's a number of cuts here to hospital reimbursements, and, you know, having a public, a number of publicly owned hospitals that have to take people in, I'm wondering how the three cuts on page 5, the inpatient hospital payment delay, and on page 6, there's a couple of them dealing with hospitals' delay of inpatient rebasing and reduced inpatient hospital rates. How does that affect, like, a Cook or a Virginia hospital, either the senator or the representative, as far as, you know, having to take in patients that probably a lot of them might be on medical assistance?
Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, in the overall budget, most of the money in this budget is either going to long-term care facilities, including nursing homes, or it is going to medical payments to hospitals. And if you have to cut, you're going to cut one or the other, and these cuts are very serious will hurt hospitals significantly.
Well, Mr. Chair, my concern is in Aurora, I've got a nursing home attached to a little rural hospital. In Cook, I got a nursing home attached to a rural hospital. In Ely, the same thing. And in Virginia, the top two floors, the third floor of which my mother happens to be on for over 3 years. So if we're giving them money on one hand and taking money away on the other, I want to know if the net result is a, you know, double whammy, or do they actually end up with a little money? But are there any kind of runs that show us what happens in your communities with these cuts? And I'm, you know, and like I said, these two had a terrible job to do, but again, it gets down to just taking care of people in our society that we can't take care of, it seems, because the governor won't pay for it. And, you know, I know the Health Care Access Fund is kind of like this pot of money that we don't touch, but, I mean, isn't taking care of people on medical assistance that show up at public hospitals and have to be helped, isn't that a good use of the Health Care Access Fund to cover some of these cuts that are happening? Because, you know, it's just getting bad out there. The nursing homes, they're looking at bringing in a Texas company to run one in Aurora and one in Ely, and Cook is in terrible shape in Virginia. You know, it might be a personal thing, but what's happening out there, and I visit them almost every day, so it's not a pretty sight, and I'm just wondering why we can't use a little health care access money maybe to cover the...
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, the purpose of the Health Care Access Fund money is to provide a subsidy for health insurance to working people that don't get health insurance where they work. And if we simply take that money and put it into the general fund, then how do you know it's going to go to nursing homes, or how do you know it's going to go to build roads? I'm strongly opposed to using healthcare access fund money to do things that should be done out of the general fund.
Well, Mr. Chair, to that point, Representative Huntley, the guy that works at McDonald's and working two jobs and his family doesn't have any health insurance, and when his kids get sick, he brings them to the emergency room of the Virginia Regional Medical Center, and they got to pay for it. And so to be reimbursed a little bit more, and that person is working every day, but he's got no health care probably, and it would seem to be a wise use of the fund, because otherwise we're just, I mean, there's no way for these nursing homes and hospitals to downsize anymore. Then I've got, you know, St. Mary's Hospital, Duluth Clinic, encroaching up in my area and kind of shifting everybody down to Duluth, so it exacerbates the problem.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, the example you gave of somebody working at McDonald's that shows up at the hospital emergency room, that individual wouldn't be covered by Medicaid. That's why we have Minnesota Care, so they can get health insurance through the state and have an affordable premium. And when they go to the hospital, Minnesota Care pays the hospital. Or they end up more appropriately in a doctor's office, because most of these emergency room visits don't need to take place. People need to be able to get into the doctor's office before they get that sick. And that's really what Minnesota Care is about. And with a number of people around the state losing their jobs and losing their health care, I think that preserving the Minnesota Care program and the Minnesota Care Fund is very important. It is another way that providers get reimbursed for providing services. The cuts that we made to hospitals in the bill, if you look at the numbers, we did not make the DSH cut. And that was a $33 million cut. We did make a $25 million cut to hospitals on another line. If I was going to decide which I'd rather have 8.5 versus 33. I mean, there's no way you're going to get out of here without having some hospital cuts. The other two areas are one is a shift and one is a delay of an increase that they haven't received.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, like I said, Senator, I know the job you had. And by the way, I have to publicly thank the Senator because last year she passed this little amendment for me, for my mother, but particularly other people that were forced to take the Medicare Part C and my mother saved $5,000 and U.S. Steel paid for it instead of the state and my mother. So, and I think you save people in the state a lot of money by doing that. So I appreciate that. But it just goes to show you how crazy things are getting when person like my mother had full pharmaceutical coverage through United States Steel but couldn't use it because of Medicare Part D and some nursing home regulations. So thank you, Senator Bergman, for that.
Okay. Further questions from members relative to the spreadsheet? Okay. Thanks. Well, let's go on then and discuss the language in the articles.
Need to be some changes made to the language in these articles so they're not completely finished.
Well, that's we've been taking amendments. What we'd like to do is have you explain what we have in the articles, and then we'll take amendments to the articles.
Amendments
are finished. Okay, all right.
They're not ready.
That's what she said. Well, let's.
Should we adopt the articles?
The language was later.
Yes.
Reconvene.
Well, let's.
We'll go through the appropriation article first. Since
their amendment's not ready, but they can present. So, Senator Berglund and Representative Huntley, are the amendments, are you still able to present basically what we have in front of us, or do you need? Okay. Well, if we can do that. And then.
We just wanted you to know that there's a little more to do
here. Okay. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, just so being that I'll be the one making the motions, then just so I understand what Senator Berglund has said, then so for example, if we adopt Article 22 on continuing care, then there may be amendments that would come in at a later time, either this morning or I guess I'm just curious what kind of a timeline we're on relative to when those would come in.
Senator Berglund, do you?
I don't know. I do know that we have a conference committee after this that the staff needs to attend, and then they can work on it after that.
So it probably wouldn't be today, then.
So Senator Berglund, would your guess be that that would be?
Or tonight.
This afternoon or this evening?
Then we would just recess.
Yeah.
But it's so from your perspective, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, then if we adopt the articles, then we just would reopen them this afternoon to the amendments. That's would be a good way to proceed.
My suggestion would be that we can adopt the articles except for the appropriations article, which is not ready to be adopted.
Well, Mr. Chairman, is that the one where the amendments are geared toward then the appropriate?
There are amendments some of the other articles also, but I just think for the appropriation article, you pretty much need to delete everything amendments. So you might as well just wait.
Okay. Well, why don't you begin with the presentation? Senator Berglund, we have first is Article 22, the continuing care article.
John says that we. If we say. Just send on the spreadsheet.
Let's see. Are we adapting? No.
We can do it either way.
Is there some other language changes?
Why don't I move the amendment and then.
All right, Representative Carlson.
The way we proceeded yesterday was that we moved the amendment and then we had the discussion of the amendment. So, Mr. Chairman, I will move Article 22, the continuing care amendment.
Okay, on Representative Carlson's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Whoever would like to present what's in Article 22. Mr. Gill's going to do that, or?
Mr. Chairman, I could go through Article 22. David Gill from Senate Research. Sections 1 through 9 you've already adopted. They were identical. You want me to go through those again? Or?
No.
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 The Senate has spoken.
What we were doing.
Representative Carlson.
Those items that.
Okay. Section 10, which is on page 10 of the article, is a 1% permanent COLA for the nursing homes. It was 2% in the House position. It's 1% in the bill. Sections 11, 12, and 13 are the rebasing language that Senator Fredrickson spoke of earlier, that's to guarantee the nursing homes a 1% increase out of the rebasing provision that goes into effect October 1. Section 14 was adopted earlier. 15 and 16 were adopted earlier. And Section 17 on page 18 is a moratorium exception that was in the House bill. It's budget neutral because the funding would come out of the regular appropriation for moratorium exceptions. That concludes that article.
And next we've got Article 24, Children and Family Services. So what we're going to do is, Senator Berglund's indicated we have amendments. Are there amendments to this article?
Mr. Chairman, I believe continuing care is complete. I'm not aware of any.
Well, maybe what we could do is we could take it article by article then, where we don't have to wait for other amendments from Senator Berglund and Representative Huntley. Is there further discussion on Article 22?
Is that the whole article?
The whole article.
22.
22. Continuing care article.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
I have a question to Mr. Gill. Is the 1% in the rebasing the same 1% that's in the rest in the other part of the bill? Is that a different 1%?
Mr. Chairman, there are three separate 1%. There's the 1% rebasing in this bill. There's the 1% COLA that was 2% in the House bill. It's now 1%. So those are two separate 1%. There's a rider on the 1% bonus that Senator Berglund explained. So there are three separate 1% increases. Yes.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Gill, what is the 1% bonus based on? Is that really just a COLA that we're calling a bonus?
It's in the rider section, but it's a 1% COLA that's paid out. I believe two-thirds of it is paid out to employees on a quarterly basis. So if you're an employee on December 31st, March 31st, four different dates during the fiscal year, you get a bonus that has to be an equal percentage increase for all of the employees on that date. And then the other one-third or 1%, I believe, is for other facility costs. That will come out of the rate at the end of the rate year.
Okay, further for the Representative Rucavina.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's in continuing care, but is the hospital stuff in this Article 22 part?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll wait till we get to that then.
Okay, further questions or discussion on Article 22? Representative Carlson?
I'd move we adopt Article 22.
All right. On the Carlson, continuing care. On the Carlson motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next in our binders, we have Article 24, Children and Family Services. Ms. White, is that?
Mr. Chair and members, Article 24 contains all identical provisions. One is federal child support compliance, and the other is the repealer of the MFIP family cap.
It's easy.
But do you want to... we adopted some of the language the other day. Is there any new language in here that we should know about?
The only new language is the repealer of the MFIP family. That's in the repealer section.
Okay.
They were in both the House and Senate bills.
All right. Thank you. Is there further discussion on Article 24?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the article.
All right. Representative Carlson moves adoption of Article 24. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have Article 25, health care.
Mr. Chairman, Section 1 is the Interpreter Services Quality Initiative. I believe this was a House initiative. On the line 1.28, there's a $50 annual fee, and the fee revenue... there are some amendments to the language. I'm not sure if it's incorporated in your copy, but fee revenue is deposited into the state government special revenue fund, and then there's a rider that appropriates the money for this activity.
And if I can just ask relative to that, I'm pretty familiar with the interpreter services as provided through the courts. Now, obviously, that's a direct public function when you talk about the court system, whereas healthcare is... you know, a combination of mostly private, some public hospitals. Is there anything envisioned with interpreter services that's different from how services are being provided currently? I think most of the healthcare institutions work through the interpreter services, I believe. I think a couple have full-time interpreters on staff. I think the university does, for instance, with the broader groups of language, Spanish, East African. But is there anything envisioned differently with this?
Mr. Chairman, really all this does is it allows interpreters who choose to be on this list, this statewide roster, to do so. In order to be on the roster, you have to meet certain standards. Providers can use the registry to see if the people they're using are on the registry. I mean, I think people prefer to use interpreters that meet certain quality standards, and this would give them a way to know who those are. Interpreter services are also provided in physician offices, and I think health plans also hire and use.
That'd be great. Okay, thanks. Mr. Gill, other new language in this article?
Mr. Chairman, Section 2 is the Senate proposal to set the value of the ambulance volunteer service credit at $447.19. You discussed that before. I don't believe it was adopted. Section 3 is the rebasing of hospital payment rates. The proposal going into conference was to delay it by a year, and this delays it by 14 months. That's on page 399. Section 4 are the patient hospital payment reductions that Mr. Godfrey explained, and the reductions are for the first year, 3.46%. That's on line 434. The second year, they're 1.9%. That's on 5.6. And the third year, it's 1.79%. And that's on page 5, line 12.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Covino.
I noticed that in the spreadsheet on this issue, there was no cut by the governor, no cut by the House, no cut by the Senate, and then we got 8.385 cut and a little bigger out there in the base. And so was any of this money or language in either bill?
Mr. Chairman, the rebasing cut was in the House bill.
Well, it doesn't show up on the spreadsheet.
Right. I understand that if you look on line
461.
Look on line 461. See that the House has the governor's cut for rebasing.
No, for the quarterly hospital payments. This is this additional payment.
I mean, for the DSH payments. The House took that cut. The Senate didn't. So the compromise we came up with instead is the cut that you see on 329.
Representative Covino.
You'll have to excuse me because, as I've said before, I'm kind of dumber in a box of rocks when it comes to this stuff. So it just looks to me like it's new language that wasn't in either bill. Which I know you guys have a terrible problem with. At least when it comes to my amendments. So I'm laying the groundwork, a base here. So I could be on first so far, right?
Mr. Chairman, it's really important when you do these conference committees that sometimes you can't just adopt a position on one side or a position on the other side. You have to come up with a new proposal to compromise, and that's what we did here.
Senator, I agree with you 100%.
What I'm hearing, though, is Senator Berglund is saying that this was in the House bill. I'm sorry. The
DSH cut was in the House bill, not the Senate bill. In order to come to an agreement, we came up with an alternative.
I just broke one the other day.
Bingo.
And they're all about hospital payments. So.
But you're suggesting this was kind of a variation on the theme that was already in the bill.
Yes, I guess you could put it that way.
Well, Mr. Chair, yesterday I had a couple of amendments that were variations of themes that were in this bill and several bills from years ago. And, you know, you just can't change the rules in the middle of the game.
Mr. Chairman.
On a serious note on this issue, Representative Huntley or Senator Berglund, and I know, like you said, Senator, you had to pick one or the other, but I'm thinking about the nursing home surcharge a few years ago on privates to pick up a buck of federal money. So when we cut this $8 million, do we lose a buck of federal money?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Recovina, yes, this is Medicaid, so we lose the Medicaid share, but we would have lost Medicaid on the dish cut also. So instead of 33, that would have been 66. So, you know.
So.
It did seem like it was a better alternative to cut 8.5, which turns into 17, than to cut 33, that turns into 66.
Mr. Chair, you're right, Senator Berglund.
Good.
You're right. No doubt about it, but it would be better, in the most part, to spend $8 million of health care access money to replace this, because there is a line there for it, and it shows zero, rather than to lose another eight. Then that saves 8 point whatever it is, 7, so we lose zero, and that's better than 36, right?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that the issue of the health care access fund is on the table in front of this conference committee. It was a leadership decision that we would not use it to balance the budget. And if we were using it to balance the budget, it'd be in addition to this 8.5, not instead of it.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I'm not in leadership, so I can't make that point, but it seems like a real big strain on some of those rural hospitals in particular. They can't make that money up, so. But I'm glad to see this whole issue show up.
Don't encourage him, Senator Thomas.
You all know I'm right.
I might be chuckling at something else. Mr. Chair?
Representative Huntley.
And Representative Rukavina, there's another bill out there that will use the health care access fund for what it's supposed to be used for, which is to expand health care to people that don't get it, so that we can have some outreach programs that will get that guy that works at McDonald's and let him know that he's eligible for Minnesota Care so he can sign up. And then the health care access fund will essentially be used up by providing health care to people.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Every person that we insure through the use of the health care access fund is a reduction in uncompensated hospital care costs. They pay that uncompensated hospital care out of their own revenues. There's no federal dollars for it. It's just bad debt that they have to absorb into their budgets. So getting people insured is a better thing for everybody, the person, the hospital, and the local clinic.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to trust Senator Berglund's knowledge and seniority on this, but I'm worried.
All right, further questions? Mr. Gill?
Mr. Chairman, Sections 5 and 6 are minor modifications in the Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program, and there were slight language differences, and this is the Senate language that was adopted by the Conference Committee. Section 7 on page 7 is a Senate position. It's a reduction in drug costs, drug reimbursement. Sections 8 and 9 are governor's proposal. I think they were in both bills to cap copays for people at or below 100% of poverty.
It's a federal compliance item.
Section 10 is a portion of a House proposal, and it allows the commissioner to limit the reimbursement to cost if that's needed to be in compliance with a federal rule that is currently suspended. Section 11 is a reduction in hospital outpatient costs, 3%.
These reductions do not apply to Medicaid services.
Section 12 is a withhold from managed care payments, 3%. I believe that was a Senate position. The House was at 2%. And Section 13 is additional language on the hospital outpatient reimbursement reduction of 3%.
Okay. Thank you.
There's an amendment, at least one amendment I'm aware of, that's needed on in this article.
Are these,
Representative Carlson.
I was asking House staff about the amendments. Are these amendments that are being worked on jointly then, or how are they moving ahead? There didn't seem to be a general awareness. Maybe Representative Huntley knows. Are these working group amendments we're talking about, or we seem to be at a bit of a loss on our side of the table as to what amendments we're talking about?
Well, we've divided up the work among the staff, so the House staff might not be aware of the amendments, but they're amendments that Tom and I are working on together.
Well, just trying to find out what's happening. So there, these, because we have had amendments that have come before the conference committee that haven't necessarily been from the working group.
We're
so
working.
Your work that
we're
that is a question.
Together.
So you're working together on it. Okay.
Okay. Well, there was a reference to an amendment on this article. Is this an amendment that's ready? Okay. It's all right. Is there further separate from that amendment? That's not prepared yet. Is there further discussion or amendments on Article 25?
So here's the whole conference committee.
Representative Carlson?
Mr. Chairman, we could adopt Article 25 then with the understanding we'd be taking up an amendment later. Is it, would that work for the co-chairs? Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the adoption of Article 25 with the understanding that there will be an amendment later today.
Okay, on the Carlson motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And Article 26 is the appropriation section. Now, Senator Berglund, you indicated that you would have a delete all amendment, but I'm told that.
It was out of order. I had
Senator
Berglund. I think it would really be better to wait and do this article later.
Okay, if we could just have a minute. Where's my bill?
Is the amendment just changing the numbers?
Where's
the
flex worksheet? As far as we know, disproportionate share.
Maybe why don't we ask the question?
We do have Article 27, yes. Which is the forecast changes, which don't have any amendments.
If we could just have a second.
And it's this hospital that disproportionate shares of plans on that are public assistance.
Right. Like Ramsey and Mike Hannibal.
Yeah,
well, as far as what John Walls is telling me, is we could adopt the article with instructions to change numbers to leave on the speech.
The discussion we're having, Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative Carlson.
The fiscal staff was saying that their understanding was that or an approach that could be used is that we would adopt Article 26 and then adopt the numbers in the spreadsheet, and that is what was being worked on. But we're just not sure if there's something beyond that or not.
Rules are made to be broken. Look at it.
All right. Well, okay. We've had a chance to
I think we'll just play it over then.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
all right, so let's
we get the amendments later today.
All right, so the next article, we'll skip over Article 26, and I think we have the forecast article. Yeah, we did. Yeah, I think we adapted that.
Any changes from the one?
Are there any changes in this article from what we adopted? Okay.
So that's already done then. That has to do with health and human services.
All right, anything further, Senator Berglund, Representative Huntley, in terms of articles, other than the article we've laid over?
And there'll be some amendments
other
to
amendments.
The healthcare
yes.
article.
Right. Okay, we've with the exception of Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, we have in this section, we've got Article 22, and then we went to Article 24. Is there an Article 23 that's still outstanding? There's not a 23.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, throughout the bill, those kinds of things, not just here, but are reflected in the fact. Remember, we moved like 70 items, various working groups. So that's why there are times when there's not necessarily a numbering sequence relative to the articles.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Tamasoni.
Maybe Article 23 could be Representative Rukavina's amendments.
They're all germane.
Just
they're
one
all
or,
germane.
Just one or all of them.
They're all germane.
All of them in one big article.
Yeah. So that would be like Article 25, Rukavina.
Supplemental.
Okay.
He's looking to see which ones he can put together now.
All right. Okay, then, members, we have another. Again, understanding that we have some further work to do with this section of the bill, we do have another article and one that does affect human services. And this is Article 14. If we could have that distributed, please.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask a question? Do you vote to adopt the spreadsheet?
No, we have not done that. We've been adopting the articles that have the appropriations in them. That's the way we've been proceeding. So Senator Berglund, when we adopt that amended article, that's when we'll adopt the appropriations.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Tamasoni.
Chairman, I know we've probably looked at every angle we could possibly look at, but, you know, Representative Rukavina made a really good point about turning down federal dollars. Is there any way to do this so that we don't turn down those federal dollars and still don't take money out of the health care access fund? Is there any way to do that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Tamasoni, when we cut our budget, we're cutting federal dollars. There's no way. When you cap the waivers, those are federal dollars. I mean, there's just no way that you cut our budget without it. And, you know, since our budget has to be the major thing that balances the budget here, oh, well, too bad. You're just going to lose federal dollars.
And that's an ugly situation, really and truly. I don't know how we figure this out, but it's unfortunate that we're cutting areas that need, I mean, it seems to me that these people already need these dollars really badly, and unfortunately we're making really, really difficult choices in really, really difficult situations, but we're actually turning down money that would be there if we didn't make these choices. And so I don't know how we get around that, but some way, somehow, we should figure out how to access those federal dollars. And these guys did exactly what they could do, and there's nothing they can do about it. But
everybody spend that.
Okay, Representative Wiginius.
Senator Berglund, I agree with you that we're making bad choices here. It would be helpful for me, at least, when talking about these bad choices, if I knew the total amount of federal money we were losing in this process. Has staff pulled together that number for us?
No. And I might just add that our staff has another conference committee that we need to be going to, so they wouldn't be able to do that for you until they get all that we need to have adopted, that work done. So.
Representative Wagenius.
Actually, it's not so important that we have that number now, is that we have that number so we can talk about it when our constituents are talking to us about what has happened here.
Well, I'm sure sometime later, maybe tomorrow, they could get it for you.
That would be helpful.
Okay. Members, we have Article 14, Reserves and Transfers. Some of this does not affect Senator Berglund, Representative Huntley, but there are significant sections that they have been involved with. So I'm going to ask Mr. Mosman to present the article to the conference committee and ask for a couple of comments, probably from Senator Berglund. This reflects work that Representative Carlson and I have done relative to how we're going to utilize one-time money, the budget reserve and the cash flow account, to balance the budget. And it also deals with language that the Senate had amended into its bill the other night relative to the health care reserves. So, Mr. Mosman, if you can present the article to us.
Mr. Chair and members, you have before you Article 14, Reserves and Transfers. Section 1 of that article, language that was similar to both the House and the Senate bills previously. The numbers changed. Section 1 transfers $200 million from the budget reserve to the general fund for budget balance purposes on July 1, 2008. Section 2, also language that's similar to the House and Senate position, is the cash flow account reduction that reduces the cash flow account by $350 million to the general fund on July 1, 2008 for budget balance. Sections 3 and Section 4 then are new, and they relate to conversations you've had before you earlier in conference committee related to the recapturing of the health plan reserves in the Health and Human Services proposal of the Senate. The language here rearranges it such that the risk, if you will, that the budget state general fund budget reserve bears the risk instead of the budget balance, so that in Section 3, the Commissioner of Human Services is to pursue these health plan reserves through reductions in general assistance medical payments to compute the reserves, certify the savings, and pursue these reductions in general assistance medical payments similar to the Senate proposal. And then in Section 4, if those reductions cannot, to the extent, if you look at paragraph B, I think line 2.6 on the second page, the operative language, I think, is that to the extent that those reductions in general assistance medical care payments are not made or are less than the $50 million that was anticipated in the Senate proposal, the difference would be transferred on June 30th, 2009 from the budget reserve to the general fund in order to ensure that the general fund remains in balance. And to some extent, given the particular circumstances of individual health plans that will be repaying those reserves, to some extent they might not be able to be recaptured in fiscal 09. The proposal here would be to continue to make an effort to recapture them for the remaining 6 months of calendar year 2009, which falls into fiscal 10, and that's where you see on lines 2.9, paragraph C, that those additional health plan reserves that are recaptured then in fiscal 10 would be transferred back to the general fund budget reserve in fiscal 10.
Okay. Do members have any questions about this? Any representative?
Mr. Chair, just to point out that everything in here is outside of the work of the work group that did the rest of this.
But you've been involved with some of what's in here, though.
No.
It's and members, the language that we have in here, obviously we've had not discussions about this particular language, but Representative Carlson and I have talked about some way to reflect this in the bill, and again, to make sure that we try to come up with cuts that are less damaging to people in this state in a way that that works and provide some protection against the general fund. Is there further discussion on Article 14? Representative Carlson.
I'll move Article 14, the reserves and transfers.
Okay, we have the Carlson motion in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Huntley and Senator Berglund. Senator Carlson.
I have a couple of issues I think we could deal with this morning before we recess. On the very last page of our binders, there's a section 4 at the top of that page titled Duplicate Appropriations. And then also there is the second paragraph there dealing with severability provisions.
Severability is
not. Chairman, do you want to take those separately or just together?
Let's do them separately.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the duplicate appropriations language.
Let's make sure everybody has it. This is on the very last page of the binder. Very last page.
It's a spreadsheet? Or it's a side-by-side, I mean?
It's a side-by-side. We're going to, the very last page of the binder. That would be page R12 under taxes tab.
Does everybody have it? Duplicate appropriations?
The money wasn't in either bill. The language wasn't in either bill.
Literally, the very last page.
It's the exact same point I was making yesterday.
Tell you what, if Health and Human Service people are leaving, could you keep it down until you get out of here?
Piece of a bargain, though.
The, This just, Mr. Chairman, clarifies that if an appropriation passed in two bills, it would only be counted once.
Senator Frederickson.
As long as we're on that page, have we also adopted the severable provisions?
We're going to do that separately.
We're going to sever them.
All right. We have Representative Carlson's motion to adopt Section 4, Duplicate Appropriations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
And, Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do then is move the severability provision. That would be Section 1.
Okay. Do we have further discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair, I have a number of possibly unconstitutional amendments that would actually be germane to this motion.
Maybe you could just hold those for a minute.
I will.
All right. We have Representative Carlson's motion on Section 1, the severability. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Members, what Representative Carlson and I have talked about doing right now is recessing until Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, can we correct my amendment from last night? It's the technical correction that the amendment was written incorrectly. It doesn't change anything in the amendment, and I think maybe Mr. Watson can explain it so everybody understands it. So,
okay. We can certainly take Senator Tomasoni's corrective amendment and then hold off until we have Senator Berglund's fuller amendment on the appropriation section and other amendments that members might want to offer.
Other amendments.
Senator
Tomasoni.
This is a corrective. I said other amendments.
Representative Wagenius, I talked to her last night about it. It doesn't change the amendment at all. Just writes the amendment correctly is what it does.
Okay, could you remind us what that
and
was?
It's the 835 amendment. It's in regard to the Lakeshore rules. And I'll just let Mr. Watson explain how to change the amendment.
Okay, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, in the amendment that you adopted yesterday, the 835 amendment, it added some new language after striking existing language that said that the provisions of 16A.1283 did not apply to these rules. The effect of that was to say that the requirement in current law that the rules be adopted by law was no longer there. what should have happened is that that language that authorized the rules to be adopted without being enacted into law should have remained, and the new language should have just been added at the end of the sentence. So if you have your A35, the change would be to delete line 1.3, and then on line 1.4, delete strike everything and delete and before but, insert a comma, so that the amendment in its entirety reads, page 26, line 19, before the period, insert, quote, comma, but the rule must not take effect until 45 legislative days after it has been reported to the legislature.
Yes, I'll move that, Mr. Chair.
All right, we have Senator Tomasoni's motion in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, what we'd like, again, to do is to recess to the call of the chair, hopefully later today. And again, I'll repeat myself. We'll have the revised appropriations section for Health and Human Services. We'll have other unfinished business, and we're going to get – and Representative Carlson, I understand you have the tax bill on the floor today.
That's correct.
So you would imagine a lengthy floor session?
If the House keeps up to its traditions on these major bills, probably lengthily.
Okay, and that'll give Representative Rukavina another 6-7-8 hours to prepare amendments.
Mr. Chair, I just have the one, I have two amendments, but one that certainly I think has the support of, I think, a majority of the senators, not because I'm counting on you, Senator, on the low-pressure pipe, which is not opposed by the department.
I heard that last night.
It's true.
Mr. Chairman, he's building up steam for that amendment.
Low pressure.